You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and the only podcast that canceled its HBO Now subscription as soon as the end credits started after the Game of Thrones series finale. I'm your host, Nate, and it's that lull between the draft and training camp for the Bills, but also the end of a TV series with a cult following that we thought would be fun to discuss. In this episode, we talk Game of Thrones, the epic series, the ending to the series this last week after 8 seasons, and some really fun analogies between the show and the Buffalo Bills, whether it be players and characters or actual events in the series or Bills history or anything else. So either way, it'll be a fun topic to talk about and debate. I'm joined right here now by my co-host, Mike. Mike, are you ready to talk Dragons and White Walkers and Bills players?
Nate, sure am. Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you on. So we also have a very special guest co-host on this episode. He's been on here before. I thought he'd be perfect for this one as he hosts the very popular Torrent podcast, a podcast about movies, TV, music, and video games, and is also a huge Bills fan. So I'd like to welcome back Nick. Nick, great to have you on again, man. How's it going?
Valar Morghulis, gentlemen. It's good to be back. Thank you for having me back on.
Nice. What was that? What was that last part?
Oh, this is something they say in the show, Valar Morghulis, All Men Must Die. Amen. But I think in Western New York, we can call it Go Bills or something.
Nice.
Something like that.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. I like it. So just a quick warning for all the listeners out there. There will be a lot of spoilers to Game of Thrones in this, but there's also going to be some, you know, other TV series endings that we'll probably spoil. So if you haven't watched Game of Thrones or cult shows like The Sopranos or Lost or, geez, even The Office, just save and bookmark this episode until after you've watched them. Or if you never plan to watch Game of Thrones, our discussion on the Bills may entice you to give it a shot. So keep that in mind. First of all, guys, before we get to the Bills analogies and the series finale in season 8, what'd you guys think of the series in general? Is it a generational show like it's been built up, like it's been trending the last few years? Or is it just another good series? Nick, I'll start off with you since I know that, you know, you kind of got me into it and you've been watching it the longest.
Yeah. Regardless of how you feel about how the show ended, there's no doubt the highs are super high for this TV show. And it's got to be, in my mind at least, up there with amongst the greatest television shows of all time. The way it has captivated, you know, thousands and thousands of people, millions of viewers each week watching this. It's the new water cooler talk. The last time I heard this much talk, I think, was Lost, you know, where people were like, oh, what's going to happen with all the different theories and speculations that was going out. So this show is incredible. And like I said, regardless of how you feel about the finale, the last season, without a doubt, one of the best.
Absolutely. Mike, what'd you think?
I think it was groundbreaking in terms of its unpredictability, right? But even more than that, it reestablished, like, over the last decade, we've seen more and more of the cord cutting, the Netflix, the Hulu, everybody just released all their episodes all at once, right? And this show reestablished must-watch TV. Like, you had to be there when it happened if you wanted to be part of the conversation on Monday.
Yep.
It was genius in that it gave you a full week to digest what happened, to talk about it, to theorize, and maybe it's culturally going to shift some of that instead of all these platforms releasing everything at once and everybody just binge watches all 10 episodes on over the weekend and that's it. maybe it pushes the needle back more towards an episode a week, something like that.
Yeah, wow. Those are both really great points. As far as episodes, we just forget being in the Netflix sort of era that you can just binge an episode, a new episode of Netflix or a new series of Netflix comes out. We can watch 10 episodes within a weekend. But yeah, so for me, I think that you guys kind of touched on this. One of the things that grabbed me about Game of Thrones, and I came in on it very late, actually. I came in on it, I want to say, season 6 or so. And it was more or less, it was just so popular. I found a way to stream all of the shows because I don't have HBO. And one of the things that grabbed me, and it wasn't like one of those shows that it automatically grabbed you. It's like, wow, this is the most amazing show ever. And it grows on you, and it's a really good, well-set up show. And then all of a sudden, like, I think the thing that did it for me is that characters that you thought could be main characters for like the long haul, like, okay, this guy is the king, right? And just get killed at any moment. Like, it was just automatically, like, there was no promise of the future of any. I mean, just for example, like Ned Stark in the first season, you're like, well, this is the most popular actor in this whole series, right?
Oh, like, yeah, it's Sean Bean. He's coming in there, you know, he's a well-liked actor. He's the dude from Goldeneye, you know, he's awesome. So yeah,
dude from Lord of the Rings. This is basically sidestep of that series. He's just stepping into this other role, you know, 10, 15 years later. So I'm like, oh, this guy's obviously going to be, and nope, gone after the first season. You know, it's just any single person that you thought would be there or wasn't going to be important whatsoever, all of a sudden became important whatever reason.
Yeah, character arcs too. I thought, you know, you start off hating a couple characters and by the end of the show, you're like, oh, I love this guy. You know, the Hound being like one of them. And
oh, yeah.
Even, you know, Jaime Lannister to some degree. Also, you know, he wasn't as much of a dick during, you know, the last couple episodes as he was in the beginning of the show. So they did some really cool things with characters and yeah, there's a lot to like about the show for sure.
Yeah. And one of the character arcs were great, especially for a lot of these characters. And one of the things that I liked about, and I don't know if this is George R. R. Martin and his writing style, I'm sure it is, but just the long, well thought out, like storylines that could be brought about from season to season. So like there would be something that happens in season one. You completely forget about it because you think it's so unimportant. And then season four, it comes back around and I'm just like, oh yeah. You're like, oh yeah, remember that thing? Well, now it's really important all of a sudden. You know, it's just like, I don't know if there's ever been a TV show that I can remember that's been that well thought out where it's like, just like the easiest example is the Hodor storyline, right? Where, you know, he's just called Hodor. He says Hodor. That's the only thing he can say the entire episode or the entire series. And then in season five, like, you know, Bran goes back to when he was what, a kid and he somehow gets into his mind then and he ruins it. It was kind of this really, and then you know, he's being told to hold the door and then he says it over and over again. And then it becomes Hodor, Hodor. And you're like, what? You know, it's just, I've never seen a TV show that's just been able to look that far in the future and then take that much from the past. So it was really cool from that perspective. At least for me, I don't remember a show that's done that. So now that we've talked about the series in general, let's talk about the ending, the last season, or the series finale in general. So there was I don't know if you guys knew this, but there was a change.org petition to redo the entire 8th season of Game of Thrones that got over a million signatures.
Stupid.
So is that ridiculous? I mean,
do we need a petition for literally everything now? I mean, I feel like that was the fifth petition I've seen on the internet, you know, that week. It's just like, if you don't like it, it's okay. It's just a TV show. Just move along.
Yeah.
Move along.
Yeah.
You know?
There were a lot of
maybe we're just got a lot of patience because we've been dealing with, you know, the Bills losing all our lives and Buffalo sports losing all their, you know, most of our lives. So we're kind of like, you know, used to letdowns. We could just, you know, roll with the punches, I suppose.
We needed a win here though, Nick. We needed a win in season 8.
You're 100% right, Nate. Yes. Yeah. Do not let me diminish that.
Yeah, people just complain about everything. But you know what's funny is I think because so many people, we were talking about it being a generational show, to a point, I think that many people were invested in this show that were just like, they wanted to see it end well. That's how much they, you know, talked about it. That's how much they watched it and just felt some connections with these characters.
Yeah. The tough part is everyone had their own ending already in their head. And you can't, there's no way the writers and producers of the show were going to create the ending for the perfect ending for each individual viewer. It just wasn't going to happen. So even if they had did the majority of the things that everybody wanted to have happen, there are still going to be thousands and thousands of people like super upset because they didn't get the ending that they wanted. So they just did what they felt was right, and that's how they went about it. And was it perfect? No. You know, was it disappointing in many ways? Yes. But that's the way they decided to go.
So I've talked on this podcast, like, we have a newborn, and so we don't get to watch shows the night they happen necessarily. So this whole season, I've kind of been like on a social media blackout the day, at least until I watch the show. And sometimes you can't avoid it. Just opening up Facebook is like, oh, Game of Thrones memes, you know, like you can't avoid it sometimes. But the last episode, I'm like, we have to stay up for this. Like, I don't remember there being a series that we watched this intently. Like, when we were binging it, when there were five seasons already out, I mean, we'd watch one a night. We'd put, you know, our then son to sleep and be like, okay, he's asleep. Okay, let's watch. Like, let's at least get two episodes in tonight, you know?
You're like sprinting from the crib to the couch. You're like jumping over.
I know.
Like,
I might have I might have just flung him in. Style. I don't know if he actually... if I set him in sometimes, or I just try to bank him off the wall, I don't really know at that point. totally just joking, by the way. So like this last episode, I'm like, we got to watch this one. We haven't watched them all season, like the night of, like if there's ever one. And so we watched it, and I was just like, ah, like I was like the whole season, I was kind of disappointed with. I didn't really like how certain things, I didn't like, first of all, that it was only six episodes. I thought that it could have been longer, even though the episodes were very long. I think they were mostly an hour and a half. I just wish that they had taken their time and just spread the plot out a little bit more. Instead, all of a sudden, Daenerys goes from this young girl to becoming, you know, queen, getting her own army and stuff like that. And for the most part, being a good person, to all of a sudden just changing in one episode and like burning innocent, millions of innocent people or whatever it was. In King's Landing. And I was just like, wait a minute. Like, they kind of showed it like inch by, I don't know. It seemed like an immediate reaction to something. And it didn't seem like the kind of person, at least that, like you were saying, Nick, character arcs over the entire series. Like when Jaime became, he was a douche at the beginning. And then when he became a very likable character, it wasn't within two episodes. Like it was gradually over a season or over two seasons. It was with Brienne of Tarth, like him, you know, losing a hand and defending her. So some very bad things didn't happen to her, you know, it was like that. Whereas this, it was just like in an instant, it was like, okay, I guess that's how she is now.
Yeah, I agree, Nate. I think a couple extra episodes, maybe two to four episodes more of the season would have helped definitely stretch the storylines and made the any big twists that happened in the plot wise kind of a little more digestible. You know, I think they have hinted at Daenerys becoming the Mad Queen by the end for quite a while now. But I think just with their limited timeline and the limited amount of a show they had left, they had to rush it a little bit, and they had to rush a lot of things. So whether we and, you know, we probably would have gotten to the same exact place that we finished with. But I think the journey of how we got there would have been much more fun if they had a couple more episodes.
Two to four episodes, Nick, you would need two to four seasons minimum to wrap up like you guys are talking about with this, with all these characters and the epic arc. It's like when you're in elementary school and you're writing a word on the top of a poster and you're trying to do it perfectly, and then half you get to the end of the poster and you still have half the word to go and you just cram it in. Like, that's what it felt like, right? Because that's the strength of the show, the epic characters and the different story, the interweaving of the stories. And if they had four more seasons, I think you could do it. And it just felt so rushed. I agree 100%.
Yeah. I was going under the assumption that we would get the, you know, the 10 episodes per season. And I think, so we got six. So if we had four more, that might've helped. But yeah, if we could sneak in another season or two in there, absolutely. I think that would have just strengthened it.
Do you think 100%. Do you think it was the ending, though, is what upset people? Like, just the fact that it ended how it did, or just the fact that it felt rushed? Because to me, it was like, if I had found out that Daenerys was terrible or whatever, and she was the Mad Queen, like, that's fine. And Jon kills her. That's fine. All of these things I'll get to some other things that bothered me. But for the most part, it's like, that wouldn't have bothered me. I didn't think Jon ever wanted to be king. I don't think, even though it would have made him a great king by not wanting to be king. But I don't think he ever wanted to be king, so it's not like I saw that happening. And you know, stuff like that. So that was all fine. It was just like, man, like, why do you have to sprint to the finish line? You know, and another thing besides it being kind of condensed was that, you know, I think, Nick, and correct me if I'm wrong about the writing within this series, is that the books actually ended like at season 4 or something, right?
Yeah, I think I haven't read all the books, but from what I know, the last kind of the timeline that we're in when the books end is like right when Jon Snow gets stabbed by the Night Watch, when he gets betrayed by the Night Watch. So show wise, everything after that is kind of whatever George R. Martin has told the writers and producers of the show, you know, the big plot points that they want to go into. Mm-hmm. Where I really felt the difference in the show was season 7 and 8, because it was a condensed schedule for the show. There was less episodes. And I really felt that change in pacing, in you know, the rushed nature that we were talking about before. So, yeah, that's where it really kind of fell apart for me. And I enjoyed season 7 for the most part. I really liked season 7, but you could definitely see that's when it really clicked. There was a difference in how they were making the show and how they were telling the story, and it wasn't perfectly executed. Let's just say.
And I think it was more, as opposed to what I was talking about earlier with like plots or storylines going from season to season, like season 1 to season 4, going back to season 3. Like after that point where you're talking about where John gets killed in season 5 or wherever, like it just felt more linear. Like it's this that happens, then that happens, then this happens, then that happens. Instead of like, well, this was a result of that thing that happened a while ago because we had the forethought to think of that. So I'm wondering if the books, whenever those come out, if they do even come out, will explain this a little bit more. And maybe George R. R. Martin didn't even think that far ahead because he hadn't written them, or, you know, he can only give so much to the writers, and the writers are like, you know what, we just need to put something on paper, and we can't wait for this guy to give us all the intricacies. So this happens. Did you get that feeling at all that it was much more linear after a certain point?
Oh,
as opposed 100%. to just, you know, that's important that happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think over time too, the show fundamentally changed, Nate. Like, right? Like, it started off with like incisive dialogue, political intrigue, like a Game of Thrones, like chess, and it ends up like checkers, right? Like, even the words per minute, like the dialogue, fell every episode, or excuse me, every season going on. So it started at 60 words per minute. You're getting, it's season 1, political intrigue, right? And then at the very end, it's just battle scenes where you're getting 40 words per minute. It was Jon Snow being like, I don't want to be king. Danny's my queen. Like,
yeah.
That's the extent of the dialogue.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. I did see that as a thing on Twitter, that it was like they showed a linear graph of like season 1 to season 8, and it was started at the top. It was like, what was it, words per minute or something in the episode? And then it was like at the very end, there was like almost no, there was basically almost no talking in the last season, essentially, is what they were saying per.
Which personally I'm okay with. I just think that when you're going to have character dialogue, it has to be that much stronger, because you're not going to have as much. You know what I mean? Because you're obviously going to have big battles. You're in war, so that's fine. But you need to make the times when you're giving exposition or moving the plot along via dialogue that you make it count. And the beginning of the show is obviously going to have a ton more, because they're setting up everything, exposition, you know, you're learning all the characters and stuff like that. But you gotta make it count at the end. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely. So one of the things that,
I mean, by the end, Cersei was just standing in a window sipping wine, right? For 8 episodes or 6 episodes. Excuse
right.
me. That's it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. Speaking of, so are we going to talk about some of the things I didn't like specifically of the last season? But that was one of them. Cersei was like the most badass woman in all of like Westeros, it felt like. And then at the very end, now I'm not saying that I wouldn't be like this if we were going to die. Like if in the tunnel when her and Jaime are there and she's like, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. I'm just like, well, that seems out of character for her. Like, she was such a badass. Not to say that, like, if you're going to actually, you know, you're going to die. Not that I wouldn't be this way, but it was just like, wait a minute. Like, she doesn't care. She knew this might happen this whole time, and she's surprised.
I'm just surprised she didn't have a backup plan to a backup plan. You know what I mean? She's been, like Mike was saying, like, the political machinations.
Yeah.
She's been, like, at the forefront of that the entire show. And for her to not have any sort of plan beyond moving the entire population of King's Landing behind the wall, you know, behind their keep or whatever, whatever it was. You know, it's just, it was bad. Bad strategy.
Yeah, like,
as long as we're talking about bad strategy in the tunnels, could she have picked a worse place to stand? When Tyrion finally digs through, right, everything else is clear.
Everything's completely clear. He had a clear walk.
He's walking around.
There's flowers growing. Everything's
everything. You should have had to, like, climb over multiple, you know, piles of bricks to get to her. But no, it was just the one spot. You know what? It would have been better in that plot, like you said, Nick, about having a plan B, would be like not only just having the people in the keep, but like also have a way of like killing them, but also like killing the dragon. Like one of those high towers is just filled with explosives or whatever. And when a dragon, you know, it just blew up. Or I don't know. Like she had that
what was that green fire that they used? What was it called?
I know what you're talking. But they had
just use that
over different places where she's also killing her own people. Be like, yeah, that sounds right. You know, like.
Yeah,
it was just like, nope, that one idea that you had is completely, all of the crossbows or whatever around the city are gone. Your fleet is sunk. You didn't think past this. And now we got to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And you could have set it up so that maybe not only did Cersei and Daenerys start killing innocents, but also like maybe something happens to Daenerys. So we don't know if she's alive in the rubble or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Build it up a little bit. Build some suspense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's so many avenues they could have gone down, and they just went for the most direct to get to characters from point A to point B because they knew they needed to get to point C. And
exactly.
Instead of doing this windy road that was a fun journey, they just go, we're going to go straight. We're going to go straight there. That's
like they got lazy, or like they were just like, we just want to end this.
Yeah, they want to go make Star Wars, so they're just going to go hang out.
Are they the writers for Star Wars, the writers for Game of Thrones?
They're making, they got hired to write some of the new Star Wars movies. So we're going to do that.
So basically, the season 8 of Game of Thrones was their senior year, right? And they're just like, we're already in college. We don't need to try that hard. We just need to pass and graduate.
Right. We got the scholarship. We're good to go.
Let's finish this. This shitty other thing we just got to get passed through, get C's or D's and just get through.
Did you guys hear Aaron Rodgers go off about the finale, by the way? There's a little clip online.
No, I didn't see that. What was he saying?
Okay. I think it was during Packers OTA or something like that, or some pre like training camp or something like that. But he was a couple of the reporters, because he was an extra on one of the episodes of Game of Thrones this season. Some of the reporters were asking him about it, and he just starts going off about, you know, so stupid how Bran ended up being king and all the, and pretty much everything we just talked about, but he's like talking to the reporters very, nonchalantly about Game of Thrones. It was hilarious. I thought it was awesome. It was a different side of football players they don't see too often. So I would definitely recommend you guys go check that out.
Do you think part of him was embarrassed to be part of season 8? He's like, well, I thought this was going to be a lot better. Now it makes me look bad.
Yeah.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So I wanted to talk about things that I didn't like about the last season before we get into the next topic. So one of the things that I didn't like at all was that it didn't end up mattering that Jon Snow was a Targaryen. Like, at no point did that actually help him or hurt him, except for the fact that Daenerys got very jealous, or got very scared or fearful that he might, because he was the true heir to the throne, technically.
Yep.
because we don't know who was the family that owned the throne before the Targaryens, do we? Because technically that family would, whoever was alive from that family that they stole it from was the true heir. You know, if we're just talking about Game of Thrones, like whoever that, we don't know. We only know to the Targaryens and then the Baratheons and after. So, but yeah, so he even being a Targaryen made no, it didn't matter at all as far as the storyline or pushing things through, which was kind of disappointing. I was hoping at some point that, like, even though he killed Daenerys, technically he's the heir of the throne or whatever. And that was never even brought up, even at that meeting at the end with all of the heads of the Seven Kingdoms. No one was like, well, technically you're holding the king hostage or king prisoner and he should be the king. It was just like, nope, he's just not the king. And it's like, everyone's like, okay with it. Then the fact that John was also sent to the Watch after, I wasn't really sure why the Watch even exists anymore, because
there's no White Walkers left, right? There's no magic, essentially, so you don't have anything to worry about.
Exactly, and that's the whole point of the Wall, right, Nick? Wasn't it just to keep out everything that they didn't understand or know that was White Walkers?
I think that was their sneaky way of them being like, you know what, just go hang out with Tormund and Ghost with the Wildlings and just go relax. That's where you want to be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things that they did set up in is all the Stark kids, direwolves were kind of their names were kind of what they all became. So like Sansa's direwolf was named Lady. She became a lady, like a lord, you know, kind of thing. Jon Snow's is Ghost. He's literally, you know, he kind of came back from the dead. He's a ghost in a way of speaking. What was it? Rickon's was Shaggy Dog. Shaggy Dog is a writer's term for a storyline that sets something up but doesn't really go anywhere. And There's connections there. There's for sure.
What was Rob's direwolf? Was it called Killed at a Wedding? Like, what was his?
That's true. What was his? I forget.
Killed by the phrase. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's cool. Now that is interesting. That's probably the most interesting thing I've heard about the season 8, really. But yeah, that was so. Also, the things that plot lines that didn't go anywhere was Bran being the three-eyed raven. Like that mattered. The one huge reveal that he had was that Jon was actually a Targaryen, but he didn't find out until Sam was like, hey, I went through some ancient texts and I found out that Jon's probably a Targaryen. And so he went like, okay, let me look it up. Yep. Fact checked. It's correct. And that was it. And then he was just a pawn for, like, I will say the best episode by far was the one where was the White Walkers in Winterfell. I thought that was definitely the best episode of this season by far. And him being a pawn, just being out in the area or the Enchanted Forest or whatever it was, and leading the Night King there, I thought was really cool. So, and it was just so funny how that didn't matter whatsoever about him being Lord of Winterfell. And then he's like, yeah, of course I want to be king. Why he was the king? Because he was a three-eyed raven, just because he knew the stories and the brand, the broken thing was kind of dumb because who's got a better story than him? And
literally every other character on the show,
literally everyone around that table for the most part. Yeah. It was also funny. If we're going to talk about that little juncture where they were deciding king, I mean, how come Sansa just decided that Winterfell got to be independent from the crown and everyone else was totally cool with that? Nobody questioned that she could do that.
Or nobody else was like, oh, wait, we can do that?
Yeah, I don't.
Right, we'll see you guys later.
Hi, Dorne is also independent as well. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, everyone's completely independent and Bran is ruling over nobody.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. There's just so many things. And also, like, I think Tormund should have ended up with Brienne. I'll just say that right here. I think that was a plot story that just went nowhere. I think I think everyone would have been really happy if that's how it ended, instead of her getting with Jaime and the pretty boy and then him breaking her heart or whatever to go back with his sister. A lot of incest in this series, by the way. We did not talk about that. There's a ton of incest. That's one of the things that I think...
one of the harsher realities of the medieval times. I don't think we really talk about too much is how much incest there actually was. Sad to say.
Sad to say. A lot of it.
Yep.
Like, not just Cersei and Jaime. I mean, there was the guy with the wildlings who had like 20 daughters and they were all his wives.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Got to preserve that bloodline, man.
I guess so. So, in general, it wasn't a good series finale by a lot of people's standards. Some people were okay with it. A lot of people didn't think so. But, I mean, there have been a lot of TV series in general that really were disappointed when it came to the end. A lot of cult classics, a lot of things that a lot of us followed. So, like, for example, I mean, I'm sure you guys could all think of one, but I think one of the easiest ones is Sopranos, right? Another HBO series, another dramatic series, another series that everyone really followed really closely, and it just kind of ended out of nowhere, and it just went to black. It just faded to black. And unlike Game of Thrones, it actually gave you somewhat of a finality to what happened to the characters after the very ending, where they ended up, what they ended up doing. I mean, that was kind of a disappointing series ending that I think pissed a lot of people off, because basically Tony's sitting in a restaurant by himself. He keeps on looking up at the doorway. People are coming in. People are coming in. And then it's like one guy comes in at the end and it just fades to black. It's like, well, did that guy shoot Tony? Did Tony... I don't know. It was just a very weird, ominous sense, or series finale, I should say. Are there any other series finales that you guys can think of that were just really disappointing? As far as I can't think of many good ones, to be honest. But well, any ones that disappointed you, Nick? I'm sure you have a few.
How I Met Your Mother ended very terribly. And if you haven't seen the show, is it okay if I spoil it for you? Is anybody going to watch How I Met Your Mother?
Hey, I warned them. I warned them. Go ahead.
You know, the whole show, it's they're keeping, you know, who the mother is of the show kind of secret. And then in the final season, they finally reveal who the mother is. And by the way, the actress who played her ends up being like awesome and turns into like a fan favorite in the last season. And the way they portrayed the mother was great. And then in the final episode, we find out she just dies from cancer, and then the main character gets with the love interest of the rest of the show anyway. So it left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. It was not a good ending. So there was the whole How I Met Your Mother storyline, because the way the show works is that they do little it's the main character talking to his future kids, kind of into like transition scenes essentially. And the whole point of it was that she was just going to die and he was going to get with the girl he's been chasing his entire life, the other girl he's been chasing his entire life. And I just thought it was a little, I don't know, it was a cop out. It was a cop out to get the two bigger actors of the show together at the end.
And oh, so it was Robin?
It was bad. Yeah, it was Robin. Yep. So he gets with Robin at the end anyway.
Who his best friend has been dating for like three seasons and stuff. That's
yes. Exactly.
Weird.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So there was that one, and then I thought...
Lost. Wait, real quick, Nick. Isn't that weird that, like, the guy who's narrating the show is talking to his children about his ex-girlfriends before they met Mom? Like, I know he's like, How I Met Your Mother. Strange. Like, if my dad was ever like, Nate, so let me set you aside. There was this chick I was seeing before your mom, and, man, she was... I wasn't going to go that far. But it was just like, everything was great, and then it
that's
just...
That's not appropriate.
It was.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Way too far. Cross the line there. Jeez, no, but
edit this part. Edit this part.
I don't edit shit. So there was, It would just be awkward if my dad or whatever. It's just like, oh, you know, my dad has mentioned that he's dated other people before my mom, but it wasn't like. So there was this 3-year relationship I had going. Just weird. Right. Anyway, so you were going to get to an even, I think, bigger cult following show.
Yes.
In Lost.
Did you guys, by chance, did any of you guys watch?
I don't want to hear a spoiler on Lost.
Okay.
I'm going to watch Lost.
Okay. Watch Lost.
So
take your headphones off.
About it.
Okay. I will say this. No,
I started watching it, and then it got to the polar bear.
Yeah. And that's like the second episode. Okay.
Hold it off. Okay. I'm going to come back to it.
All right. I won't spoil it.
Do you want me to take my headphones off so you can talk about it?
No. I won't spoil it outright. But I will say,
Mike, real quick, it's been off the air for like 10 years. How many more years are you gonna wait to finish it? What are you waiting for? Just want to keep it open.
There's a lot of TV, man.
I'm gonna do it.
Is it even on Netflix anymore?
It's eight seasons, 20 episodes a season. It's like,
yeah.
So if you're not binging that right now, you're not gonna finish it before you're like 50, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead though. No, Nick, don't give that one away then. But it was disappointing.
I won't spoil it, but I will say, you know, I got the same reaction to the finale of Game of Thrones that I did to the finale of Lost. So very good show. Top, very, very good show. All the twists and turns and the mystery box that they set up is very good. Is the payoff 100% satisfying? No. But is it completely worth the watch? Yes. Mm-hmm. So I equate Game of Thrones to Lost in that, wow, in that way. Yeah. So very, very good show. Did they stick the landing? No. No, they didn't. But awesome show nonetheless. So that's awesome.
Be my new Game of Thrones.
Yes, it will be. Yes, it will be.
So, Mike, do you have one that a series that you felt the ending fell short? Maybe Seinfeld? I know you're a big Seinfeld.
It's a big favorite, but it's, I don't know how you wrap up 10 years of, I don't know how long Seinfeld was on, right? But all these shows, we'll say roughly 10 years. How do you wrap up 10 years in a half hour or an hour? So it kind of, I guess Breaking Bad is the show that comes to mind where I thought they did a good job.
Yeah.
But everything else, complete disappointment.
For the most part, we should just know this. For the future, if we ever get this invested into a TV series, and we see how great it is, and we can't wait for the ending, let's just prepare ourselves for complete disappointment. That way, we'll just be okay with it if it is. And then if it's not, it'll be the most amazing thing ever, right? What'd you guys think about The Office ending? Did you guys like that ending?
Liked the ending. Did not like the season and a half towards the end where Andy was in charge of The Office. It was terrible.
Terrible.
Right? Yeah. But loved the finale. Yeah.
I think that's when I stopped watching it live was when Steve Carell left. And then I picked up the series after it finished, you know, on like Netflix. But yeah. Yeah. But so that's almost like Game of Thrones almost, where the last few seasons were kind of except The Office, like you said, stuck the landing. It did a great culmination of Steve Carell coming back for the very last episode and Dwight getting married and all that other stuff. And every character kind of had a favorable ending for what you were, I guess, what you cared about, what you hoped about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mike mentioned Breaking Bad. I agree 100%. Breaking Bad had a great ending. If we're going to stick with the HBO realm, also, there's a little show called The Leftovers. It's three quick seasons. They knew exactly how they wanted to end the show, and it was succinct, and I thought they did a fantastic job with The Leftovers. So if you're looking for another Lost-type show, especially if you like Lost, you're going to love The Leftovers.
Yeah, I would watch that, but I definitely canceled my HBO Now subscriptions. I would no. I'm glad you. I'll have to stream it. I'll find a way to stream it.
Yeah,
that's cool. So I actually did a Twitter poll of what was the worst series finale, Sopranos or Game of Thrones. And if you guys had to guess, quick trivia, which one do you think was more disappointing in The View? It only had 247 votes, but if you had to guess, which one was more disappointing? Game of Thrones, Nick, Mike.
Recency bias, Nate's Game of Thrones.
Absolutely. Game of Thrones wins 56% to 44. I was surprised at how close it was, to be honest, because of the recency bias. But a lot of people, I like how people comment. They're like, I didn't watch either of them. I'm like, well, thanks. You know, that's not part of the, that's not part of the Twitter poll. But one of those things. So I guess just to wrap up this, and I actually might pull this into two separate podcasts, because this is taking a long time to well worth it to really discuss this full series and the ending of such an important, you know, TV show in this time of our lives. Would you recommend Game of Thrones, knowing the ending and knowing if you weren't super happy with the last season or two or whatever, or the ending, would you recommend that to somebody to watch if they have never seen any of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as much as I was disappointed with the ending, that show, more than anything else I've ever watched, conveys, like, mirrors real life in the sense that consequences actually matter, right? Like, it seemed like it decreased as the seasons went on, but it showed you if you make a mistake, it's going to be your head, right? Like, you alluded to it a lot, Nate. Like, what you do in season one comes back to season four. It may take a while. And it may be circuitous route around, but like what your actions have real consequences in that more than any other show, or that's what made it compelling for me.
So, Mike, were you thinking of a certain character when you said that right now? Because I was definitely thinking of one that I felt like you were describing word for word. I was thinking of Littlefinger just then, like his whole path of like deception and just he was just like a snake in the grass. He was just constantly doing everything for his betterment, whether in even against people who I didn't necessarily like the Lady of Arryn, Lady Arryn or whatever, which was Catelyn Stark's sister, right? And I didn't like her at all necessarily, but him throwing her down that the sky hole or whatever it was. I mean, I was just like, man, this guy's getting, he basically sold off Sansa to Ramsay Bolton, you know, yeah. And she, and that does not end up well for her. And, yep. You know, just, I don't know. It was just, that's a great point, Mike. I'm glad you said that.
He betrayed Ned Stark too at the beginning. Yep.
That's right. Could you imagine that the guy betrays Ned Stark and then he tries to get with his daughter?
Yeah.
Like ultimate scumbag. Move. Yeah.
Right.
And then I think if Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, don't they end up killing him with the knife that he held to Ned's throat? I want to say I read that somewhere.
Yep. That's it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's, I think they call it the cat's paw dagger or whatever. It's pretty much it's the dagger he gave to the assassin to try to kill Bran, and then also he held it to Ned's throat, like you said, Nate, I'm pretty sure. So that dagger has had quite the journey from beginning to end, which is another small breadcrumb to pick up if anyone wants to do a rewatch of the entire series. That's another thing too. A couple years from now, if I ever do a rewatch of the whole show, is the ending more satisfying? Is it better as an entire binge? Back to back to back than it is waiting week to week, analyzing each episode and then moving on. I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would watch this one again, even though knowing the ending and knowing how it ended up, I think I would, I think I'd like to see it from front to back. Like, I didn't know what you just said right there, that Littlefinger was the one that tried to get Bran killed. Is that correct? Is he the one that gave the dagger to the assassin?
What?
Or Littlefinger did?
Yes, I think so. Probably under the orders of one of, you know, Baratheon or one of the Lannisters
for
like
sure.
That. Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So I am going to divide this into two podcasts because we've talked a lot about the series. But the second part is going to be just talking about parallels between Game of Thrones and Bill's Players. So if you guys have, I'm going to give one parallel before this episode. I have to say something about the Bills throughout this entire episode. And I've got a lot to talk about. I've been thinking about this way too much. Just too much time on my hands. So I'm going to do...
Yeah, I want to dive into it. Let's do it.
I'm going to do a parallel between a Game of Thrones character and a Bills player, and also a parallel between a Game of Thrones scene and Bills history. So the first one having to do with a Bills player, and this is just because it's relative to what just happened recently in our Bills history, is Ned Stark. So I have a parallel for him, and it's Pancho Villa. And I think that has to do with the fact that, like, he was such a likable character. Ned was, in essence, what actually got Ned killed was the fact that he was too, he was just too stand up of a guy, I want to say. He was too much morally, just indignant, if you will, just for how he lived his life and the way he conducted himself. There was only one way to do it, and it was the right way. And in the Game of Thrones, like, it ends up getting you killed, and we found that out the first season. And for me, it was like Pancho Villa was like that kind of fan for us. Now, I didn't know Pancho Villa, a lot of us didn't, but we knew about him, we knew his story. Overall, we've heard nothing but great things about him. We've seen nothing but positive things about him. He was just a stand-up guy, not only as a Bills a super fan, but as a person, making time for other fans and stuff like that. And it was just really, I don't know, it was sad both times. Both times it was like, what happened? And when Pancho Villa passed away just recently, I guess even though he went into hospice, I don't know, I just, as a Bills fan, as someone that pays attention to this stuff, I thought it was just, I mean, both were very sad, and they're both stand-up people. One obviously a character in a TV series, and one a real life person. But both people had families, and, you know, just taken way too early. And yeah, I mean, it's not a super upbeat, you know, funny one like we've talked about earlier. But that was just kind of what I thought about. You know, what kind of stands out as something that represents our fan base and represented, you know, the Stark family. And then I would say that, like, obviously, in this instance, Joffrey, King Joffrey at the time, you know, of Ned Stark's death. I mean, he was basically like cancer to Pancho Villa. He's basically just kind of came out and just, I mean, that was what did it. And Joffrey kind of did it in a very, just kind of like, I mean, cancer's terrible. Like, right? I mean, Joffrey is, if you were trying to put the face on something as awful as cancer, I mean, maybe Joffrey is the face of it.
Yeah, I
mean,
Joffrey or Ramsay, yeah, either one of those, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, speaking of that, we never talked about that earlier. Game of Thrones did an amazing job of painting the most terrible people and villains, you know? Like, they literally made you, you wanted them to die, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Each and every time, you just felt like it was just like a vindication when they were actually killed, even though, you know, somebody just got murdered terribly. You were just like, oh, good.
They really stepped it up with Ramsay, though. I mean, Joffrey was bad and everyone hated him. But when Ramsay came along, you loved to hate this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was just, there's something about him. You're just like, ah, you don't necessarily want him to die just yet, but you're like, I hate this guy so much.
Absolutely. So I'll give, unless you guys want to give a quick, do you guys want to do a quick character thing right now? We want to save it for the next episode. I was going to do a parallel. Nikki.
Let's save it.
Okay, let's save it. Okay. So one thing I'll do really quick, which is kind of an offbeat one, but Daenerys getting killed by Jon Snow before trying to break the wheel, as she said, which kind of sounded like an ethnic cleansing or whatever it was, where she basically kills everyone in the world that doesn't agree with her. But like, she wanted to kill anyone anyone that opposed her. It was kind of like, and this doesn't have to do specifically with the Bills, but it affected the Bills. Eli Manning beating Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl by stopping them from completing that near perfect season of going 19-0, because that was like a season as Bills fans. I mean, every single Super Bowl that the Patriots are in, we're always rooting against the other team. And it's been like literally like half of the last 15 years we've had to watch Patriots Super Bowls. So it's the worst because you don't want the Patriots to win. Anyone that beats the Patriots is amazing. And it's only been done 3 times out of like 8 or 9 or whatever. And so Eli Manning stopping Tom Brady, even though Eli Manning isn't necessarily going to be a Hall of Famer, just like Jon Snow isn't going to be a king, wasn't going to be the king of Westeros. Like, it was just him beating it was just, I don't know. To me, it was just like, it was just poetic justice. I was happy when it ended, and, you know, I don't know. That was my parallel. What'd you guys think?
You left the speechless, Nate. It was perfect.
Yes. All right. Good. Good. That's what I thought, man. Man, if you think that was good, just wait till the next episode, man. I've got so many. I was just giving you some crappy teasers for the next episode. The next one's gonna be so much better. So, Nick, you know, obviously, I appreciate you coming on. We talked about...
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We talked about your podcast briefly earlier, and we won't spoil it here, but you did an Avengers Endgame spoiler review, right?
Yep, that's our latest episode right now. We got our Avengers Endgame spoiler review coming up very soon. We're going to be releasing we did a review for the movie Triple Frontier, the Netflix movie with Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac and Pedro Pascal. We reviewed that movie. That will be releasing shortly. And then coming up, we'll probably have a review for John Wick here in the next couple of weeks, and John Wick 3, Parabellum, along with we also do a series where we just kind of catch up on pop culture news, movie, TV news, and we just kind of discuss that. So we do that along the way as well. So that's kind of what we got coming up on the show.
Yeah, so for anyone that hasn't heard that or heard Nick before on the podcast, it's a really great podcast if you like music, movies, TV shows, everything like that. I mean, Nick and his friends cover all of that. His co-hosts are great. It's a really great listen. So you're also, not only are you your own podcast host, your co-host here when you come on, your special guest host, but you're also the graphic designer for our podcast. So you've not only created our kick-ass, you know, Circling the Wagons podcast logo, but almost every other Bills design that we have at T Public. We discussed a design that you're almost done with for this mm-hmm. episode, for the Game of Thrones episodes. Can you give us a sneak peek of what you're working on?
Sure. Yeah. It's and I had some technical difficulties, so apologies for not getting the design out sooner. But it's a Game of Thrones inspired design, with mixing in our some Bills elements, or else, you know, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be it's going to feature Josh Allen and the Iron Throne. So I don't want to give away too much, but That's kind of what you got to look forward to.
Yeah, there might be some cool motto to go along with it we've talked about. So cool, man. You do an amazing job. You can find that design soon. By the way, I'm going to tweet that when it comes out. So if you're not following us on Twitter, please do at CTW Pod. That's Circling the Wagons Pod. So you can find that design soon and all of our other Bill's artwork at tpublic.com/stores/CTW Pod, just like our Twitter handle. We just became a ninja partner with TeePublic because the Bill's artwork has gotten so popular. So thank you all for listening for all of that. Also, we made our first donation from the podcast fund to the Never Ever Give Up Foundation, the same foundation that Supercade is part of and Josh Allen also supports. So that came from our interview with Lindsay D'Arcangelo of The Athletic. So if you haven't heard that interview yet, I highly recommend it. We've also donated to Poncho Billa's GoFundMe page and the teacher's desk to fill backpacks for children, which was one of Poncho's last wishes. But again, we will continue to donate proceeds from our TeePublic site, just like we have. That site, again, is tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod, just like our Twitter handle. So I'll tweet that out soon. So Nick, where can they find you on Twitter and where can they find your podcast?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram at TheTorrentPod. We, you know, always tweeting, posting updates, and podcasts, wherever podcasts are found. Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and any podcast service, we're on it. You name it, we're on it.
Yeah, wherever you're searching for the Circling the Wagons podcast, as long as it's not on buffalorumblings.com, it is, you can find the torrent. Just search the Torrent Podcast. Yep. So definitely worth a listen. I love listening to you guys. We did a football movie draft together on your podcast last season where you had me on as a co-host that I think I'll release this off season. That was really fun. So stay tuned for that before training camp. So, okay, I'm going to wrap this up, on this episode real quick. So for Nick,
go Bills.
For Mike,
go Bills.
For me, Nate, go Bills. Lots more Game of Thrones, Buffalo Bills parallels next episode. So thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
To-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.